Dallas and New Orleans have played a handful of times since Sean Payton's been the head coach here. When Dallas wins, they win rather handedly. And when the Saints win, I can't think of any blowouts or anything from that nature.
Oh, no, the Saints blew them out.
Yeah.
Was it Sunday night or Monday night football a few years ago?
Yeah, I'm talking about when you look at all of the games, I would say Dallas has more than what the Saints has had, at least in the Payton era a little bit. And I don't know if it's especially the ones here in the Dome, in which you look at, you know, just different instances. But, man, last year, can you take anything from last year other than Saints were kind of banged up at the offensive line? The game plan just didn't seem like it meshed in the first half. And it just, they didn't click, is what I remember. If you close your eyes, what do you remember?
Here's what I take from that game, what stood out to me is the Dallas defense was really hands-on and physical with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I get it to the point where Michael Thomas was looking for a flag on every play, and I think it was late in the third quarter when he finally did get a PI call and a defensive holding call against Byron Jones. But it reminded me so much of those Seahawks teams with the reputation of, we're going to throw a flag on every play because we just don't think they will throw a flag on every play. And it reminded me exactly of that. And it's funny because I was looking up the numbers. The only time Drew Brees ever had fewer yards per dropback in his entire career with the Saints was against the Seahawks in 2013. That and the old John Fox Panthers defense has reminded me a little of that too. Get really physical and try to knock the Saints timing offense off schedule. So it's obviously easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Not many defenses have had success against the Saints, but that is the formula. If you can get super physical with their receivers, and if you have the athletic linebackers that Dallas does to actually get physical with Alvin Kamara as well, you can knock the Saints out of rhythm. And then obviously also have to get the pressure on Drew Brees that they got with the Marcus Lawrence last year. So that's a tall ask, and I'm not saying I think Dallas can turn around and do it again. I don't think there's a blueprint because you have to have an all-pro pass rusher and great athletic linebackers and a number one corner to pull it off. But that, over the years, that game reminded me last year of when they struggled against the Seahawks and when they used to struggle against the Panthers early in the Peyton Brees era. And so I'm curious to see how they handle it, because Teddy Bridgewater last week relied solely on Kamara and Thomas, which was smart of him.
Right, right.
So if Dallas can take those two guys out of the game, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be in big trouble.
You look at the injury report, lots of names on there as well. Larry Warford, Teron Armstead, limited participation the last 2 days. Sheldon Rankins, limited participation. Cam Jordan, limited to full yesterday. Jared Cook, now these are not injury related. At least that's what they have listed on there. Zach Lyon, Thomas Morstead was sick yesterday. I keep thinking in this game, this could be a game, and I mentioned this to Larry earlier in the week, it could be the game where two players in particular that a lot of Saints fans are wanting to see more of could play a role and be a factor in. What do you think about if I say, I think Latavius Murray and Jared Cook could have an impact in this game?
In theory, yeah, because I do think Dallas' game plan will be to focus on Thomas and Kamara, but it's hard for me to predict that Jared Cook and Latavius Murray are going to have good games, you know, when they might be facing the best linebacking core in the league. That's not an ideal matchup for either one of those guys, so maybe they'll turn to them more often, but I'll be surprised if this isn't a, you know, chip away, battle of attrition, punts are good, field position is good kind of game. So I'm not really expecting anyone to have like the breakout 100-yard game. I'd actually love to see, if anything, Teddy Bridgewater sneak in a, oh, by the way, I've got a strong arm look at Tedian Jr. down the field kind of play to keep Dallas on its heels. But I understand where you're going, knowing that they're going to concentrate on taking out Thomas and Kamara, but I think this is a tough matchup for Cook and Murray as well.
It's interesting, Mike. I'm sure you've gotten it too. You've had a lot of people probably tweet at you when it comes to the play of Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams. We had Scott Shanley on the lead off the show at 12:05, and I asked him, game plan for me, what are you doing? He said, who's stopping the run? I said, well, how do you plan on doing that? And he says, well, you're bringing in an extra player, so whether it's Von Bell, you're going to see a lot of single high safety. If that's the case, they're trying to stop there. You're probably going to see more man this week, especially with some banged up Cowboy receivers and such. So if that's the case with those players in particular, Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore, this could be a game for them to kind of make plays, I guess, is what fans sort of want to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a fair concern, and maybe the biggest concern on the team so far this year, at least the area that has underachieved the most so far this season, is those big plays that they have been giving up again this year in each of the three games so far. Just those, man, this again, you know, with big plays. The formula in the last couple of years has been to do that in the first couple of weeks and then to settle in and really get a lot better at avoiding the big plays. But you name the two guys that they're counting on to do it for sure, Lattimore and Marcus Williams. And I agree that in that area. Now, there have been a lot of, you know, forcing punts, a lot of, you know, three good drives followed by one big play. It's just those big plays that they've had in each game that they have to stop allowing.
You know, it's interesting. I would say the other thing you probably get to is, Teddy, throw the ball downfield. Why don't you? He actually talked a little bit about it on Wednesday, didn't he?
He did. And, look, I mean, he's familiar with that cry because this is kind of the kind of quarterback that he was in, Minnesota as well. You know, I don't want to say conservative necessarily. And I always wondered how much of that was because he was playing for Mike Zimmer. And that's Mike Zimmer's approach to the game as well. But not a ton of yards, but not a ton of interceptions, kind of low risk, low reward. And if you have Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, I say go for it. I mean, shoot, that's how Drew Brees is playing football the last couple of years, not throwing for a ton of yards while having the highest completion percentages of his career. That's what the Saints offense is built to do. And against Seattle, there was no reason to yell at Bridgewater to get the ball down the field because they were playing with a lead the entire game, and every screen pass he threw to Kamara worked out very well. So, but I agree with you. If defenses are going to say, well, you know what we're going to do then? We're not going to let you get screen passes to Kamara. We're not going to let you get slant passes to Michael Thomas. Then Bridgewater is going to have to prove he can make them pay for that.
All right, man. I told you I'm pumped up. I've been giving you some songs already. Corn pumped up. I'm giving you some time to think about it. Do you have a song? Do you have a go-to? I'd like to know. What does Mike Triplett put in the car here or the playlist to get pumped up going to a big game?
Well, I don't really play songs to get me pumped up for the big game. I'm trying to think of what's on my run list.
Okay, yeah.
I got a random one for you, all right?
Okay.
It has nothing to do. This is when I run. I run a lot. for some reason, I'm forgetting the name of it. Florence and the Machine, Run Fast.
Okay.
Mind when I need a little extra juice while I'm running.
I got
so that's
you.
All I got. For
you. I got you. That's fine. How do you see this Sunday, man? How do you see this game Sunday?
You know, I picked Dallas to win. I think I went with 24-20, but I also picked Seattle to win 23-20 last week and was way wrong. So. I think it helps being home in the dome against this team. But like I said, I'll be surprised if this somehow turns into a high-scoring affair. I think more that this is one of those. Neither, you know, if either team gets a big play, that'll be a big win. I think it's a field position punt, try to force a turnover, battle of attrition kind of game.
There you go. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Mike. See you on Sunday, bud.
Anytime, Jeff.
There he is. ESPN.com's Mike Triplett.
You know what Mike did?
Hmm.
Wednesday.
What did he do?
I want to say it was Mike. I think it was Mike. Yeah, it was Mike. He brought his kid to open locker room, but he had him stay in the media, you know, where the media usually stays, in the media room.
Uh-huh.
It just made me think. I'm like, wow, Mike could bring his kid to the media room, but, you know.
No.
Gus can't, you know, leave Carver alone for 2 seconds.
No. How old is he?
I think Carver could look after himself.
How old is Mike's kid?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't asked him.
Take a guess.
I don't know. 6, 7.
So 5 years older than mine. Slight difference. I mean, be fine. Run around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just put a little pin in there for him.
On that note, let's hit the breaks. Sports Hangover, Gary Smith of the Times-Picayune New Orleans Advocate will join us at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover. We'll hear from Teddy next on ESPN New Orleans.
Car shopping? You gotta go to GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store for easy, low, low payments. Upgrade to the all-new 2019 Camry and get $4,500 off MSRP.
That's $4,500 off.
What a truck. Shop today with the biggest rebates of the year on all remaining 2019 Tundras.
Plus, big discounts.
Shop today at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, where everyone gets a great deal. Camry MSRP 37,433. Model 2550. $2,500 rebate. $2,000 discount plus DTNL.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Truck Justclair. The most effective and best long-term solution to rebuilding our coastal wetlands is the use of sediment diversion. The Mississippi and Atchafalaya Rivers are the perfect natural suppliers of sediment. I would work with the CPRA to ensure that our coastal region is rebuilt and designed to sustain the tens of thousands of created acres of coastal wetlands, which serve as critical habitat and a buffer against storm surges. On October 12th, please vote for number 59, Jerry Truck Justclair for Senator, paid for by Jerry Diskler campaign.
Isn't it time to get your vehicle serviced, or maybe you need new tires? TJ Shell Station, doing business as Carroll Shell in the heart of Lockport, is the place to go. Carroll was in business for 26 years, and TJ Shell Station took over in 2014, which is 5 great years they've been in business so far. TJ Shell Station would like to thank their customers. So for fuel, tires, propane, alignments, brakes, oil changes, and more, it's TJ Shell Station in Lockport.
You're at the bar watching the game, having a Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Your team scores, and suddenly you're best friends with the strangers next to you. The kind of friends who you exchange stats with and argue ref calls with, all without knowing each other's names. Tullamore Dew calls these friendships fanships. So next time, strike up a fanship and order a Tully for the person next to you. Tullamore Dew is the original triple-blended, smooth-sipping Irish whiskey made exactly for these great moments. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, 80 proof, 2019, imported by William Grant & Sons, Inc.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ. Smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Gary Smith of the New Orleans Advocate and Times-Picayune joins us at G-U-E-R Smith. It's the way to join us and follow him over on Twitter. Gary, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. Enjoying a week where Tulane's actually not playing a football game. I've actually gotten to do a few household chores that my wife has been getting on me to do for the last month and a half. I haven't had time to get around to.
I'm with you. Arkansas plays at 11, so Arkansas game day's at 10, and you would think I'd have all Saturday and Sunday since the Saints play Sunday evening. No, that just means you have all day Saturday and most, if not most at all, Sunday to do things. So I'm with you, Gary. I understand. Tulane didn't play. We'll talk about the waiver in a quick second, but last night, ESPN Thursday Night Football, another American Conference matchup. It was Navy and Memphis. And boy, two things stood out to me in this, right? I'm texting Andrew, like, got the voice of the wave during the game. I'm like, wow, kind of looks like Navy's a little more athletic than Memphis in that first half. And then the second half was what I remember being on the sidelines for Tulane every time I'm at Memphis. All it takes is one play, bombs away, and the game completely changes and turns over the tide, and Memphis winds up winning big. I mean, that's what I saw last night.
If you're a Tulane fan, I would have been pretty encouraged watching that game, just that because Navy really did dominate Memphis in the first half. Memphis ran 15 snaps in one half, and that'll happen against an option team sometimes. But 15, that's an incredibly low number. And the other thing is Malcolm Perry got hurt for the Navy's quarterback in the second quarter, and he was not the same guy in the second half. He looked a lot more tentative on his runs. Didn't really want to take a hard hit, and his throwing was pathetic. And Navy really hurt Memphis with passing in the first half when Memphis was sucked in on some plays, and they didn't really have that option available in the second half. But yeah, that was really the key play. And the Navy dominated up until the point they were up 20-7, and then they kicked off, and Memphis ran the kickoff back 99 yards for a touchdown because Memphis has great athletes.
Yeah.
And that right there, it was that changed the whole tenor of the game, because Navy, what did Navy have for its total domination? A 6-point lead against a team that you knew at some point was going to wake up and hit some plays. And even in the second half, Memphis is up 21-20. They have like a 3rd and 10. Brady White, their quarterback, is having a terrible game. Run a simple post pattern. The guy's 5 yards behind everybody in the secondary. Yeah. He hits him in the hands, and it's 28-20. And ultimately, Memphis's athletes, you're right, it really did look like Navy was the more athletic team for about 25 minutes in that game, and then reality hit, and Memphis made the plays that it can make. This is the deal. When Tulane played Memphis last year, Tulane had 10 sacks on Brady White, and he looks like his mobility has improved not an iota from last year. He's kind of a sitting duck in the backfield as a quarterback for Memphis, and Tulane returns that entire defensive front that caused that pressure on him last year, and they don't have to worry about when they blitz, is he going to take off and run for a 35-yard touchdown like De'Aaron King. Yeah. I kind of like that matchup for Tulane this year. And Navy, they're a system team. They're always good, but I wasn't that impressed with their running backs particularly last night. It didn't look like they had guys that were going to hurt you individually particularly. So, look, there's no such thing as an easy road game, and there's absolutely no such thing as an easy road game at Memphis for Tulane, where it's been a house of horrors for Tulane when Tulane had bad teams, mediocre teams, pretty good teams in the past. But I think the matchups for both of those opponents work in Tulane's favor.
It's going to be interesting. 3 of the first 4 games were at home in Yeoman. 3 of the next 4 are going to be on the road. At Army on October 5th, host Joey's UConn Huskies, at Memphis, at Navy. That's October for Tulane. So you'll know for sure about this team. But to your point, Army and Navy, you know, it's you're not going to be tested in the past. Can you tackle? Can you make plays on the defensive end? And if you can put up points, their offenses aren't built to kind of contend that way. So those two games, I think, are favorable, but you got to go up there and prove it. And at Memphis, as you mentioned, look, there's two things I remember from doing games there, right? The stupid air raid siren, because they'd play it every time there's a touchdown. And they do a flyover with a FedEx jet, because that's the Humpty FedEx. So that's what I remember.
Yeah.
But when you go to the game against Army here in 2 weeks, you've been tweeting out some real interesting stats, not only about Army, but the potential what that matchup's going to be here on October 5th at 11 a.m.
Yeah, it's interesting. Army has an 8-9 game home winning streak, but look, Army's a good team. You don't go to double overtime against Oklahoma last year, which played in the playoffs, and come up short. You don't go to double overtime at Michigan without being a good team. But Army's home winning streak is the least impressive list of opponents you're basically ever going to see. You've got Morgan State, Lafayette, and Colgate are 3 of them. They're not even FBS teams. I think the best opponent that Army's beat in that home winning streak is Air Force by 3 points. They beat Miami of Ohio in double overtime. So it's certainly not a team that Tulane cannot play with. That's not the case. The issue is going to be, can Tulane execute, and can Tulane match Army's intensity? Because Army plays hard every single game, every single play. That's their MO under their current coach, under Coach Munkin. And it's a not, do Tulane's players feel good about themselves after the dramatic win against Houston and feel too good about themselves going on the road in a non-conference game? I think if Tulane matches Army's intensity, the advantage lies with Tulane in that game. But it is, historically, it's a huge game for Tulane, because if Tulane beats Army, Tulane will be 4-1. And I looked up the numbers today, and Tulane has been 4-1 or better exactly 5 times since 1960. Yeah, that's right, 5 times only. The undefeated season in 1998, obviously Tulane was undefeated. Tulane was 4-1 in 1979 when it went 9-2 and went to the Liberty Bowl, and 3 other times. This is not a program that has been in the position to be 4-1 very often in the past, as 5 times in 60 years kind of says it all there. So it'll be a really interesting test for Tulane to see where they are as a program. Have they reached the point where they can play hard on the road in a non-conference game and not be satisfied? Because we saw in the past, Tulane teams, after every big win, they fell flat on their face in the next game. I can't imagine that being the case in the fourth year of Willie Fritz, but this will be an opportunity for them to go prove that that's not the case.
And Gary, we wrap up with this. There's no really room to breathe. Memphis is 4-0. Tulane 3-1. Navy 2-1. SMU 4-0. I mean, it's, you know, it's, you're, I mean, it's incredible, really, what the American Conference West is.
Yeah, as excited as people, Tulane fans should be with the win over Houston. Pat Forty, national college football writer for Yahoo Sports, tweeted out at the end of the Navy Memphis game last night that he thought the AAC West was shaping up as a two-team race. Tulane, he did not mention. He mentioned Memphis and SMU, which are the two undefeated. SMU, which just came off a huge win at TCU, they're the two undefeated teams overall. Apparently, he wasn't that impressed with Tulane's win over Houston the other night. It is. The only gimme left on this entire schedule for Tulane is UConn after the Army game. Yeah, that's a gimme. Trust me on that one. Just like, I actually got some flack from somebody for predicting that Tulane would blow out Missouri State about how, and then, yeah, we saw what happened in that game. But every other game is in play, and Tulane is going to have to play well to have the season that it expects to have.
All right, Gary Smith, enjoy the bye weekend, even though, like me, I'm sure you'll be working. Just we'll be covering football.
That would be the truth.
At G-U-E-R Smith, the way to follow him on Twitter. Covers the wave for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and New Orleans Advocate. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Join the intern. You're going to go to that UConn game? Joey, you want to go on the sidelines? I can get you on the sidelines, Joey. You want to go?
No, I don't, because my team's a 42.5-point underdog this weekend UCF.
I might come with you.
Go. Yeah. All right, you can have my ticket.
I'm just saying, just say the word. You know, you could be. I'd like to see you sitting in the stands, you know, wearing a Husky. You know.
Sure. No, I'm going to give you the word. Let's go to break.
Okay, sounds good. 800-998-1003. Some interesting stats. John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles, just treated. Jordan will give you that. Plus, we'll do a little sound playing. We'll play a little Teddy. Ted Ginn, Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, you also want to talk about who's in the top five in the NBA, according to ESPN?
You can't wait for Monday, can you?
I'm excited for the basketball season.
Let me tell you
what
he's done so far in the show. He's flashed in my face the picture for Boogie taking a team photo because it's their media day today. By himself looking straight down because obviously he has a injury and he's out for it. You've shown me Lonzo Ball's comments from Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast.
Correct. Lobbing it everywhere.
Yeah.
Lob here.
Apparently
lob
he's already
there.
Thrown a full court lob to Zion. He dunked it. And he said, you basically put it by the backboard, he'll catch it and dunk it.
Just put us in the NBA Finals.
You're ready. Sports Takeover continues next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Want to ride like a VIP? Then call Ray Ride's Luxury Limo Service, your best choice for transportation in Houma, Thibodaux, and Nola. Call Ray Ride's and let their skilled chauffeurs drive your party safely and in comfort to concerts, sporting events, Saints games, Pelican games, weddings, high school dances, conventions, or airport and cruise transfers. Whether you're planning your next great escape to the Big Easy and you need transportation for a large group or a small group, call or book online at rayrides.com.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their bright side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose, Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Okay, you may not think of the song that Joey's playing as one that pumps up, but if you love the movie Top Gun, absolutely, right? I mean, this goes right into one of the best scenes in the movie. I love it. Yeah, kind of gets, I'm ready for Top Gun, too. Yes, Jets. Jordan.
The
fighter jets.
Yeah, the fighter
jets. The F-14 Tomcat.
Sorry, nerd.
Oh, I am a hardcore aviation nerd. That's fine. You're not insulting me at all. 800-998-1003, Teddy Bridgewater. Saints kind of moving in the right direction, he feels, at least offensively.
And looking forward to this week's matchup against Dallas, a team that's playing some great football, and it's a big game for us. We want to make sure that we're locked in this week as every week, and we want to continue to just take strides and move in the right direction.
How does he feel this offense is playing right now?
The thing with this coaching staff, they're great for a reason, and this offense has had success for a reason, and they're able to call plays and do things that whoever's in there does well, and they love for us to just play to our strengths. And so this past week we were able to do some things that I'm comfortable doing, and we had success and we came away with the win.
Just tell me that's not you playing ping pong.
No,
thank
remember,
you. Okay,
remember
I'm just
you
making
told me to
sure.
ask a question. I, asked
I
the
did,
question.
But I just I know. I just in the past you've picked up the basketball and shot hoops.
No, that was Brian.
Same thing.
Ridiculous. I did take the Juicy Fruit though.
Again, you cannot take a stick of gum from the player's stash of gum. Can't do it. Is it really worth your credential being pulled for a stick of gum?
I mean, I haven't done it since the first time I was in there.
I understand that, but
come on, what's a 25-cent?
You know, why don't you send your dad Monday? We just became the Pelican flagship. You know, I'm a little nervous about Monday. Can we just send your dad to represent the Clee Bears?
No.
Your dad would help me out.
No.
You know, he can make sure when the next guest has come up, he can tell me, hey, by the way, we have, Lonzo Ball. Hey, here's
Derek Favors.
I'm going 1-on-1
with Zion.
You're not doing anything near or around Zion.
You're gonna
sit right there to the right of me, behind the table that they give us, and you're just going to, maybe you'll nod and wave. Maybe. Oh, my goodness. I did ask you to ask a question, though, about moving launch points. And what I meant by that when I spoke about it earlier in the week is Drew Brees and Sean Payton in the past have talked about one of the ways to combat good defenses, good D-lines, and just in general, to give yourself a bit of an advantage is to move launch points. Launch point meaning and being when and where you deliver the football. Obviously, we see Hutt, ball is snapped, quarterback drops back 3 to 5 to 7 steps, or takes it in the shotgun, primarily in there. You can purposely move the pocket to change the launch points, right? A couple steps to the right, a couple steps to the left. You've seen rollout passes. Jordan's quarterback extraordinaire, Mitchell Trubisky, the 3 touchdown passes that he threw against Washington, 2 of them on the run. That's changing the launch point. That's on purpose, getting him somewhere where he's more comfortable, where either he's going to run or throw the football.
Only the elite quarterbacks can do it.
Oh, my. So you're facing a pretty good defense, pretty good front 7, good linebackers going to be coming in. One will probably be shadowing or spying Alvin Kamara. I just think one thing you can do with Teddy is to help with that, is to maybe change those launch points. So you asked it. See what he said.
Moving the launch point, is that almost like a key facing a front 7 like this?
They do some things well on defense, and they are good up front. But we just want to do what we do best, and that's play Saints football. So we want to rush. We want to be able to rush the football. We want to be able to protect the passer, not turn the ball over. And if we can do those things well, we'll put ourselves in position to win a football game.
I was kind of thinking he didn't want to tell you. that I think that they're doing that.
Yep.
Did you get that?
Yep. He was high.
We're just going to play Saints football.
Well, he was kind of like that, like backup Teddy and starter Teddy are a little bit different.
Yeah, no, but that's what
like
I'm saying.
Karen was saying that yesterday. I did kind of notice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't hear that as he didn't know what you were talking about. I heard that as, dude, what are you doing? Yes, yeah, so we're going to change the launch points. Right? Didn't you hear that like that? Or was he going, I have no idea what you're talking about?
It might have been both.
You think it was both?
Could have been.
I don't know. I think he said, we're just going to play Saints football.
Might have just been the easy answer to get out of it. Say, I just want to go home.
Maybe he doesn't know what I'm talking about then. It sounds a lot better if we just go with, he just didn't want to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that.
We got something scheming up.
His thoughts on Dallas.
Yeah, they're playing smart football. They're great on third downs right now. And they're getting off the field. And when you can do that, you're going to give your offense more opportunities to score points like they've been doing this year. So they're playing good football, and they're hot. And we understand that it's going to be a battle. Last year was a physical game, and we expect the same this year.
I do think it's going to be a physical game, too, as well. I think the Saints are kind of prepared for that, though. I know every season's different. I know every game's different. But it should help, right? I mean, wouldn't it help to have been in a situation where you know that this is what this team sort of is now? You know what to expect. You know how fast Jalen Smith. I mean, Alvin Kamara knows he's just not going to outrun those guys. You know? So you know how to sort of attack that. Might have to juke them a little bit more. Go at them, be physical. You know what they are. By the way, John Hendricks, an interesting tweet. Also yesterday tweeted that video. Remember I referenced it earlier in the week, the Jalen Smith ways of launching and hitting people in the head. And it wouldn't look, and I'm not crying. I'm not that Saints guy that's crying. Even though you're shaking your head at me, I'm not.
You are.
No, because the week before that, he did the same thing to the Redskins player. Like, people on Twitter were warning Saints fans, this is coming. Apparently, he's done that several times during the season last year. Jalen Smith has a tendency to pop people in the helmet.
Whack-a-mole.
The problem is, it only takes one of those pops in the helmet and see ya for the game. I mean, Hendricks retweeted the video from last year. It's impossible to not see that and throw a flag. Shockingly, they didn't throw a flag in that game. See, now I'm getting worked. What did John tweet though? That's interesting.
Or you could follow Jay. First off, you could follow Jay, John at John J Hendricks.
Jeez, I'm Pete. His name is right in front of you. It's John.
Okay, just let me get to the tweet. I was trying to give him a little bit, you know, exposure. Trying to be nice.
By saying to follow Jay Hargrave, who doesn't have a Twitter.
I meant John J Hendricks.
Yeah.
All right. So he gives us a little bit of stats. Dallas holds the all-time series 17-12 over New Orleans, and the Cowboys started 11-1, and they first met in 1967.
That's kind of a bit of a domination right there.
Yeah.
They were 11-1 in the first 12 meetings.
But then after that, around 20 years later, Saints are 11-6 since 1988.
Okay.
And the Saints have won 7 of the last 9 matchups at home against the Cowboys. Losses in 2009, Super Bowl year, 1994, and 9-3 since 1998.
All right.
I was born.
Okay, there you go.
See, it was my good luck.
Tell you what, that season or that game in 2009, am I lying? But it's still fresh in a lot of people's heads. Just, we all remember not preparing for one player. No, all he did was kind of dominate on the defensive.
I was in fourth grade.
You remember that game?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're in fourth grade.
I was crying.
You were crying?
I was crying.
Why were you crying?
Because the Saints lost.
No.
Oh, I was hoping we'd go undefeated.
16-0, huh? Okay, so you've been in the locker room this week. Do you get a sense and feel that the Saints team has confidence in Teddy Bridgewater? Because this is what's going to come down to. We're going to talk about this in hour number three, the keys and what's going to happen. Which quarterback makes plays? That's what's going to come down to, right? I mean, the running backs are going to have theirs. Kamara's going to have a play. Ezekiel Elliott's going to have a play or two. I mean, it's just going to happen. Their defense is going to make a play. They're going to pop somebody. Might get an interception or a fumble. I mean, they're just too good to not. the two quarterbacks, I think, are key in this game. I mean, Scott Shanley in hour number one flat out said, I'm the Saints, I'm Dennis Allen, we cannot let Ezekiel Elliott get going. So you're going to see one-on-one matchups. You're going to see opportunities for Dak Prescott to maybe play against a blitz or run blitz or pass blitz and make plays. Which quarterback makes more plays? We've seen Dak be able to do it at times, right? We believe Teddy can. That's the difference. We believe Teddy can. At least the team believes they can. Ted Ginn on the confidence he has in Bridgewater.
Oh, we got all the confidence in him. I mean, you know, I mean, why not? You know, he's a guy that played, you know, big time ball in his level for many years. You know, a setback is nothing but a major comeback, and that's what he's doing right now.
Did you get the sense and feeling when you were in the locker room?
Yeah, there was a lot of the players that were answering questions. I kind of just overheard a couple when I was interviewing Ted Ginn. They were just talking about how confident they are in Teddy and his ability to throw the ball and just, like, run this offense. So, yeah, I do believe that the players are fully behind him and ready to see how this game plays out against the Cowboys.
Ted Ginn a little more on Teddy.
Well, you know, this game is a special game, man, and there's a lot of good wins and a lot of bad wins, you know. And last week was a good win all the way around the board for Theodore. I called him Theodore, you know. He was a great guy, man. Came in, was eager to learn, was eager to play, was eager to get back on the field, you know, was eager to take over the show. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, take over a show when you got a guy like Drew Brees in front of you. And when he came coming in and throughout the week just conversating and just trying to get better and get on the same page with us and get on the same page with his guys, you know, it was tremendous just to see him at the end of that, you know, have the joy that he had, be able to get the fight back in, to play football, you know, not just look at himself as a backup, but a guy now, like, you know, and, you know, it was just commending, you know, that was a spark, you know. And, you know, just happy that we could play with that guy.
I don't think it's anything different as with the break here, Jordan. And, you know, the first day before school, you're about to go on a big date, or first day at your new job, or you're going for a big interview to get a new job or something. I mean, it's those butterflies, those nerves, and you're going to be more comfortable the more you are. I mean, he said that. He had emotion and tears coming down during the national anthem. He may not have that this game. He's going to be a little more composed and be ready to go, and it's going to be just more comfortable. I think the more he gets time under center, the more he gets to throw the football, the players, I think he's going to be fine. I actually think he's going to have a good game. I think he's going to have a good game Sunday. I think being at home in the dome is going to be nice, right? Casey Gisclair joins us next. We got some pretty big matchups at quarterback in prep football, including one tonight. He'll be over on CST. And let's see where my alma mater is going to be playing. Oh, little Blue Jays. All right. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
I have lupus.
I have glaucoma.
Knee trouble.
Heart condition.
Cancer.
But thanks to Governor Edwards' Medicaid expansion, I can take care of my son.
I can see.
I can walk.
I'm recovering.
I'm working again.
Thousands of people like me.
With health care coverage that detects disease early.
Provides treatment.
And is saving lives.
It's not about politics.
It's about people.
And Governor Edwards always puts people first.
Watching John Bell these last few years, the thing that stands out most is his leadership.
Whether it's a budget crisis or natural disaster, the leadership qualities that we were taught at West Point are on display every day.
He's doing what we were trained to do, and that's lead from the front.
There's a line from the cadet prayer that says, choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong.
And that is how John Bell Edwards leads.
We've always been able to count on him to do the right thing.
Especially when it matters most.
Paid for by the John Bell Edwards campaign.
The new 2019 Dodge Charger has 45 years of muscle car heritage, from heart-pounding power to unexpected efficiency. It makes for one unforgettable ride. The Dodge Power Dollars are back, and this new 2019 Dodge Charger won't break your budget with $7,212 off MSRP. Now $23,753. Call or drop in for a test drive today at Southland Dodge in Houma. WAC excluded TTNL. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score of 620 or less. LD Truck Owner Loyalty must own an LD pickup.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
Don't get fooled by the other guys. The prices are falling at Homa's Clayton Homes. Don't miss the Red Tag Blowout Sale. $10,000 discounts on any homes in stock or ordered if you have a trade. Plus, financing programs available specifically for your trades. Hometown programs continue with their single parent programs, SSI disability programs, and new home buyer programs. Homa's Clayton Homes, located on Highway 311 in Houma. Be sure to check them out on Facebook.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
So quarterback's kind of a topic when it comes to the Saints-Cowboys game. Casey Gisclair joins us. Talk a little high school football at Casey underscore Gisclair is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Casey, quarterback's all about this matchup. Newman Country Day tonight.
Yeah, man. If you're looking to see a display of high school offense, Newman and Country Day will be the game to go to. I mean, you've got Tulane guy, Justin Ibieta, for Country Day. He is unbelievable. He's poised in the pocket. And I know you're a big Tulane guy, Gus. You should be excited, man. He's going to go into that program, and he's going to do great things there. And for Newman, you know, I've been kind of wondering, you know, like you see, like, for instance, you see these highlights over the summer of like LeBron James's kid playing AAU basketball. And you're wondering, like, okay, are we watching a great player or are we watching a great name? And I kind of always wondered the same thing with Arch Manning, right? But no, we're watching a great player that the kid could play. He's 6 foot, 165. He's going to grow into his body. He's only a freshman. He's got that Manning accuracy in the pocket, that Manning poise in the pocket. But Gus, what's kind of scary is, like, he can move a little bit too. I mean, he's the son of Cooper, who was a wide receiver, so he's got his daddy's wheels. And now we're looking at a Manning arm with the receiver legs, and it's kind of getting scary here. Newman hasn't been challenged yet this year. They've only played, you know, three opponents. They're not expected to factor into the playoff chase, but they're going to be challenged tonight. This is going to be one whale of a football game.
How he handles the football, how he moves in the pocket and delivers his dimes, it's scary. I mean, it just you can just see DNA at work right there. When you look at this matchup, man, obviously that's the sexiest aspect of it, but what do you think will determine the win? Is it their defenses?
I think that which team could get pressure on the other quarterback, which team, and can Country Day rattle Arch Manning? You know, look, he's 14 years old, and the stats he's been putting up so far are unbelievable, but he's also not been in, like, a close game, tight-knit situation. And I think another thing, Gus, that's going to be huge, both of these teams do a lot of, you know, we'll throw it short and our receiver's going to run and make big, long plays down the field with their legs. Which team's going to tackle in space better, I think, is going to have a great edge in this movie.
Interesting. Speaking of Casey Gisclair, a little high school football here. Brother Martin, Jesuit, alma mater, looking pretty good. We had Ed Daniels on earlier in the week, and he's like, look, that offense is pretty legit. And I'm already looking to, of course, us battling his alma mater and Rummel. But Jesuit, man, it's a rivalry. That's, I mean, it's how it is, right?
I feel like every game the rest of the season, once you get into that district, is going to be a rivalry game. Not very many of those schools like one another, and this is going to be another one here. And Gus, you know, you're talking about how Ed Daniels said he liked the Brother Martin offense. So I really like the Brother Martin defense, man. They've only allowed 17 points all season. They've pitched two shutouts in their three games, and they're going to be taking on a Jesuit team tonight that's battle test. They beat a Terrebonne High School team in the first week of the season on the road. That's a tough place to play. Lost a close one to St. Paul's, but then battled back and beat Helen Cox. And this is going to be a big test for that Brother Martin defense that I was just talking about. But Jesuit scores a lot of points, and they like to stay ahead of the chains and keep your offense off of the field. I think if Brother Martin could win first down on both sides of the ball tonight, they'll be in great shape. But I do know this is going to be a very physical, very intense game. And I got a feeling we're going to all be getting home from our respective games tonight and looking at the television set and seeing that this was a game that went down to the final minute.
Oh, Sat LaFouche and Lutcher, can you tell us about that matchup coming up at 7?
Well, Lutcher's very athletic. They've got a lot of speed. They're going to be looking to make big plays down the field. And for South LaFouche, Gus, it's just an instance where they're trying to establish a new offense. They've switched to a triple option attack. And the whole premise of that offense is staying on the field, having long, sustained drives, shortening games. The problem is so far this season, Gus, they've not been able to do that. You know, they're going three and out or getting an early first down then having to punt. And it's putting their defense on the field for a long, long time. Now, I know there are a lot of folks down in Southern LaFouche Parish that are kind of panicked, but I leave you with this, is that the Tarpons' schedule opponents so far are combined 9-0. So everybody just kind of needs to exhale. They're going to play lesser competition a little later in the year, and I think that everything's going to be okay.
Another matchup that I should be paying attention to for the rest of the weekend.
Carr versus Catholic High, brother. That's going to be an unbelievable game. Edna Carr, we talk about them every Friday, right? They've got athleticism all over the field. They beat Warren Easton 38-12 last week. Leonard Kelly is one of the better players in the state of Louisiana, under center for the Cougars. He's explosive. He plays quarterback like a running back. When he gets in the open field, he's not looking to slide. He's looking to lower his shoulder and bring pain to those linebackers. And with Catholic, man, I mean, it's a system. It's a tradition. They always seem to be near the dome or at the dome, and they beat University last week 30-25. So this is almost like one of those classic New Orleans versus Baton Rouge showdowns. Both of these teams will be sort of playing for their city, and I think this could be a really good showcase. And another one really quick, Gus, is Destrehan and St. James is going to be a great game as well. There's been a lot of trash talk and a lot of chippiness. Both of these teams' mascots are the Wildcats. They're both on the river. There's been a lot of talk. Tonight we're going to find out who the real River Cats are.
Ooh, I like that. Time tomorrow for Sports Corner, man.
Sports Corner tomorrow, 10 to noon. We're going to be breaking down local high school football. We're going to also be talking a little college. College is going to be a little bit light with Tulane and LSU on a bye. Nichols will be playing tomorrow at Texas State. And I got a feeling we might talk a little bit about a ball game played on Sunday night, if I had to guess.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, how do you think it goes, man? I've gotten a bunch of different scores, high, low scoring. Scott Shanley thinks it's going to be more on the low scoring end where he thinks the defense is will actually make an impact here. How do you see it?
Well, Gus, first off, I don't know if you know my big secret or not.
I know your big secret, yeah.
So, as I'm speaking to you right now, there's literally a Dallas Cowboys game-worn helmet right in front of me. So, but with that having been said, I think that the Cowboys have not been challenged yet this season. They played three of the worst teams in the league. Sunday night in the dome, loud environment, primetime game. Teddy Bridgewater's going to have the fans rocking and rolling. I think the Saints are going to score a 20-17 win in a low-scoring game. Fans have been talking all week long about how the Saints need to stretch the field. I think they will. I think they're going to get Ted Ginn involved. I think they're going to throw deep down the field a couple of times and take just enough plays to get the win.
Man, so you also think it'll be a close, a low-scoring game. Interesting.
I do. I think the defenses are going to be a little ahead of the offense in this
game. Hey, man, always a pleasure. Looking forward to talking on Fridays about a little high school football, dude.
Sounds good, brother.
Thank you so much. Casey _ just clears a way to follow him over on Twitter. Of course, the Sports Corner, he and Joey and everybody else yap it up on Saturday mornings. Are you ready? Hour number 3. Touch them all. Timmy Grubbs is going to join us real quick. Marlon Favorite as well. And nothing but keys.
I can't wait to hear what Marlon Favorite has to say.
Oh, I can only
we still haven't had our Uptown Ruler phone call.
Yeah, where is Uptown Ruler?
Sports I think he's waiting for Marlon Favorite.
Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.